Okay, okay.
I'm back here and I'm
right. Okay, and so Debbie's gonna light the candle.
Okay. I'll go through.
Yeah, we do. Good morning. Nice to see you. What? No, I brought the envelopes back. But she wants one of those things, yeah.
Are you looking for the joy that completes your life? Are you hoping for the love that makes a difference and gives you a purpose? Then welcome to the house of God. Welcome to the love of God.
Thank you.
Good morning. Welcome to Concordia on this beautiful May morning. I'd like to draw your attention to some of the announcements in the bulletin. First of all, know that today after this worship service, we have a potluck dinner planned in the fellowship hall. At that time, members of the Volunteers in Mission, several different events of those volunteers will be explained and shared after the meal. And please feel welcome. Everyone should feel welcome to come, whether you have brought food along or not, because there's plenty, and all are encouraged to come. Also, the bake sale and sale of the Mud Love bracelets will continue after the service today. The youth are sponsoring that sale. Note that on Tuesday this week at 10 a.m. is the United Methodist Women board meeting. And Tuesday night at 7 is the church council meeting. Remember that all are welcome to attend that meeting. Are there other announcements? Then let's stand as we are able and sing together from the Red Hymnal number 393, Spirit of the Living God. Join me in praise. Sing to God a new song.
God has done marvelous things.
We come with joy to this celebration of God's love.
Open our hearts, Lord, to receive your love.
We come with hope to this witness to God's power.
Challenge and encourage our spirits to serve you, Lord.
We come with a willingness to proclaim God's presence to all. Let us sing hymn number 560, Help Us Accept Each Other.
Thank you.
Let us pray together as printed in the bulletin. God of songs and marvels, old and new, your powerful love for this world continues to astound us. In these last days of Easter, we gather to recall the love that brought Jesus into this world and into our lives as Savior, friend, and brother. We thank you for welcoming us into your family and for trusting us with your mission to draw all people into your love. Amen.
You may be seated. I invite the young ones to come up to the front of the church. We got to check this out. Good morning. Come on up here. Have you ever been up here when we've had communion? You usually go downstairs. Okay, so I want to talk about the bread. Okay, there's bread here, and there's also some bread in there. And look here, there's some bread in here too. That's for people who can't eat gluten. And here, can you see up there? What's in there? Can you see it? Or do I need to lower it? Okay, there. Okay? Grape juice, that's right. Okay. So when Jesus was with his disciples at the Last Supper, they were eating, and they probably ate some lentils. They had some lamb. They probably had figs and dates, things like that to eat. And they also had bread. Their bread was unleavened, and it looked, unleavened means it didn't raise, so it kind of looked like that. Not round, it was flat. Okay? And then they also had, we'd use grape juice, but they had some wine that they were drinking at their meal too. And so while they were eating, Jesus knew that he was going to be dying, so he wanted them to remember him, and they wanted, he wanted them to think about something that was just part of their everyday life. Do you eat bread every day? You don't? Do you eat bread sometimes? Okay, well, bread was a part of their daily life. They ate bread every day. Every day. Okay? And so he took bread and he said, this bread is like my body, and I'm going to offer it so that you know how much I love you. Okay? And then they took the juice, and he took a cup, and then he said, this is like my blood and my life spirit, and I'm going to offer that for you too, because I want you to know how much I love you. That was the whole reason Jesus came, is so that we would know how much God loves us, and so that we could live and love God as well. And that's what we celebrate when we have communion. Are you going to stay up here today? Or are you going to go downstairs?
Stay up here.
Okay, so then when I invite everyone to come up for communion, I'm going to invite you to come up too. Do you love Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that means you can come to the table. And we're going to kneel down today at the communion rail, and that's how we're going to have communion. Okay? But the bread and the cup always remind us. Now, you don't drink wine, do you? Okay. Do you drink grape juice? Yeah? Okay. So the grape juice and the bread always remind us that God loves us. And there's nothing we can do about that. God's going to keep on loving us. Is that good news?
Mm-hmm.
I think so too. Thanks for coming up.
The scripture from Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 48. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on everyone who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. They heard them speaking in other languages and praising God. Peter asked, "These people have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. Surely no one can stop them from being baptized with water, can they?" He directed that they may be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited Peter to stay for several days. From the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 9 through 17, Jesus is speaking. "As the Father loved me, I too have loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete. This is my commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. No one has greater love than to give up one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I don't call you servants any longer because servants don't know what their master is doing. Instead, I call you friends because everything I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you could go and produce fruit and so that your fruit could last. As a result, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. I give you these commandments so that you can love each other."
Thank you, Heidi. Will you pray with me? Holy God, pour out your Spirit on us in the reading of your word and the hearing of it, and what you would have to say to us today. May your Spirit be poured out on us through Jesus Christ. Amen. The psalm that we heard reflected in the call to worship and our opening prayer today says, "Sing to God a new song." It doesn't mean that we write a new song to sing to God, but that we sing that which God has made new. God has made life new through Jesus Christ. And so we sing in response to something that is new and better. And this is revolutionary. It's as revolutionary as the passage from Acts today. We are good about setting boundaries and creating boundaries. We create walls that keep people out. We put up no trespassing signs. We put up floating ropes. Sometimes churches put up the floating ropes in the back so people will sit closer to the front. You see, we don't do that. Sometimes, especially at Christmas time, the busy shopping season, there's ropes that we need to walk through this path so that we don't get ahead of someone else who's been waiting to pay for their merchandise. And we know the pattern. Or you go to the medical clinic and you want to register and there's a sign that says, "Please stand here until you are called forward." There's boundaries for us in all of our lives.
And we have these boundaries to keep people out and not to let people in. We segregate people, even though it is not legal to segregate on the basis of some of our isms, we still segregate people. We have our people. We have our differentiation. We have that with our people, with our families, with our groups of friends, with the cliques we have at school, with the departments in which we work. We do it with denominations and with religions. We do it with nations. We do it with alliances. We human beings are really good at keeping people out. And what's revolutionary in the scripture today is that God said to Peter and to Cornelius that God does not make those distinctions. And as followers of Jesus, we also do not keep those distinctions. We have a process for letting people in. And pastors learn this in seminary. We have a process for how you become members of the church. Sometimes people will say, it happens every year. We give out envelopes for people to make their contributions. Oh, and someone says, I don't get envelopes. I'm not a member of the church. Or, I don't come to that group because I'm not a member of the church. And we may not say it specifically, but somehow we are getting the message out there that you need to belong in order to be present. What happens at the United Methodist Women's Meeting on Tuesday morning if someone who's not a member of the committee comes? What happens at the church council meeting on Tuesday night? We do tell you that everyone is welcome to come, and we do mean that. But we never get tested on it because none of you ever come. Why don't you test us on it? See if we welcome you and your opinions and your values, or do we make you sit off in a corner by yourself? Test us. Because when we say that all are welcome, we are expressing the value that God has given us through Jesus and through this word today. You gotta feel a little bit sorry for Peter, you know? Peter has been a good, pious Jew. Peter has followed the rules. Peter has done everything that was expected of him. And he really wants to welcome people in, but you know, there's a process. You've got to be a man. And you need to be a proselyte first. And that means that you are certainly welcome in the synagogue, but you got to sit a little bit back, further back than the regular men And the regular men have to sit a little bit further back than the priests and the high priests, so that we know where you stand. And then there's this whole process of learning what it means to be a good Jew. And men, you know, there's that other process that they needed to go through in order to become a Jew. And if they went through all of that, wouldn't you say that's commitment? And so Peter, as he was evangelizing, as he was drawing new people through the Holy Spirit to this faith in Christ, all of this other stuff needed to happen, and then they would be baptized by the water and the Spirit. That was the final ritual, the final thing that had to be done before they could be welcomed in. And what Jesus is doing here, again, tipping it upside down. Through the Holy Spirit, he welcomes people. He teaches the people. And then they make their commitment. We need people to be welcomed, to make their commitment, and then they can be a part of us. And when we do that, that is the way the world does it. And we need to remember that Jesus said, I have a new way. And I don't know about you, but there's something inside me that struggles a little bit with that. Because, I'll go back, when I was in seminary, people needed to come to church, oh, maybe for about 3 to 6 months before we invited them to membership classes. And then we were supposed to have between 4 and 12 classes, and people came to those, and that proved that they were ready to make a commitment. And then we welcomed them into membership. At annual conference last year, Adam Hamilton talked about his process of receiving new members. People show up for worship, and about once a month he puts in a bulletin, if you'd like to explore membership with us, join me after worship. And the next Sunday they're welcomed. He doesn't ask them first if they believe what God was doing in Jesus Christ. He invites them in. And once they're in, they become part of a study group or a fellowship groups. And then they learn. If we do it other than what Jesus taught us, we've got it backwards. All of this reminds us that the Holy Spirit does not honor our boundaries. Peter had this vision. Cornelius had a vision at around the same time. Has that ever happened to you? I don't think it's quite the same thing, but every once in a while, when a woman is pregnant, something in me says, she's pregnant, and it's not when she's 9 months. I mean, it's before they've made it public. Every once in a while, that happens to me. And I've learned not to say anything until after it's announced. But that happened with the Ramthans. When she was here, they were here a few weeks ago, my voice said, Sarah's pregnant. A week later, they announced it. That's not exactly what happened here. But I've heard people talk about having that inner voice say something to them, and they respond, and the other person says, "Oh, I was just thinking about you." The Spirit's working together here. And that's what was happening between Peter and Cornelius. Because had Cornelius sent his people to Peter before Peter had this vision, Peter would have ignored it. Peter had this vision where God asked him to eat. He was asked to eat this unclean food according to Jewish law. And God said to him, "What I declare clean, you cannot declare profane." And Peter had that experience and understood that then when Cornelius came to ask for him, or had sent his people to ask for him. So Peter gets there, and these are pious people, Gentile, God-loving people. Peter stands up and says, "I tell you surely that God shows no partiality." And that's all he did, had time to get out. The Holy Spirit then. Isn't that a pretty tune? The Holy Spirit came upon them and baptized them with the Holy Spirit before Peter could do anything. But God had opened Peter's mind by that point. The boundary that Peter would have put up was then not put up because of his experience with that vision. This is not a story about Cornelius and Peter. This is a story about the Holy Spirit and about how the Holy Spirit moves beyond boundaries. That Holy Spirit within us helps us to move beyond the boundaries that we set. I think it was probably, well, no, I know, it was 50 years ago that the Holy Spirit started working within this denomination to move us past the rule that we had that women couldn't be ordained. The Holy Spirit continues to move when we set up boundaries that keep some people out and some people in. With the Holy Spirit, there is no inner circle. When we celebrate communion, it reminds us that this, that salvation, that forgiveness, that mercy is offered to all of us, not just those that have followed the pattern that we have created. The Holy Spirit is our hero, William Willimon says. It's a gracious, pushing, prodding one who makes bold promises and keeps them, finds a way in the midst of human distinctions and partialities between human beings so that who's out and who's in is changing. This is the extravagance of the Holy Spirit. And just briefly, I'll point to the gospel. When Jesus said to his disciples, "Then and now, You didn't choose me, but I choose you. And I appointed you so that you could go and produce fruit, and so that your fruit will last. The word of God for the people of God. Amen. We have the blessing to share our gifts, our time, our talent, our resources. I invite the ushers to come and receive what we have to offer. Together, pour your spirit upon these gifts, O God. Send them into the world as a sign and song of your joyous word of love. Use them to call and welcome into your house of love all who are your friends and our brothers and sisters. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, we have prayers today for Liz Ganje and family. She's been on hospice for about a year. She's not responsive yesterday, and friends of Barb and Doug's. And also, Matt Wenzel is asking to be put back on our prayer list. He has an autoimmune disease that they thought they had taken care of within the last few months, but it has kicked up its ugly face again, and he has just recently lost 12 pounds. And if he had lost 3 pounds more, he would have been in the hospital for. So this is going to be, they now know that it's going to be a lifelong issue for him. So we want to remember him as well. Other people or situations? Yes. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, it does not surprise us that you love us because we are so lovable. It's unsurprising that you come to us, that you have sought us out, and that you have loved us. What amazes us sometimes is that your love extends even beyond us, sometimes as far as those people whom we fear or despise. Give us your Holy Spirit, that we may be given the energy and the imagination to keep up with the outward movements of your Holy Spirit. Hear our prayer. To those that are part of your family, for the poor, for the desperate, as well as for those who abuse and oppress them, those here and abroad, comfort those who suffer, and chasten those who cause their suffering, that your justice would be known here. We pray for families and communities and nations that are torn apart by violence. Heal the broken places. Imbue the earth with your peace. We pray for those who are sick and dying, for those who are friendless and lonely, for those who are living with grief or depression. Through us, bring them your friendship and renew their joy. We thank you for the power of prayer, for the continuous lifting up of those people. Some we know, some we don't. But people who have been named here. Help us to trust in the power of the prayer. As we pray for those who are sick, we pray for Liz and her family. for the way your spirit has been present with them as her physical health has been failing and as her spiritual health has remained strong. Hear our prayer for Matthew. Help him through a time of asking, why me? We pray that he would be encouraged by what medical technology can offer him. We pray that your spirit would help keep him strong as he learns to live with what he has. We pray for Naomi, that she would continue to thrive and grow as babies should, and that her family would remain strong in their love and their care for her. Hear our prayers for this, your church, that we might bear fruit of peace and hope and love, that we might bear the fruit that will last. Now, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our friend, and in the Holy Spirit that is poured out on us, we sing to you a new song to praise you for the marvelous things that you are doing in our world. Use us. We pray in Jesus' name and as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Would you turn to page 9 in the hymnal? The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and you breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who were oppressed and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed the sick, fed the hungry, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and Holy Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to God. He gave it to his disciples, broke it, and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the meal was over, again, he took the cup. He gave thanks to God. He offered it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant. It's poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour your Holy Spirit out on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ so that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. This is the feast that God prepares for the people of God. All are welcome to come and share the bread and the cup. This morning we will be receiving communion at the rail. The ushers will let you out or direct you to come to the pew when there's room. Come, be filled with the food that God gives. Take the bread and the cup, be filled, and go in peace. It is only in God, through Christ, that we are given all that we need. Eat, drink, be filled. When we speak the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, what we're speaking of is all that he was, that he gives to us. Eat and drink. Receive all that God has to offer, that we may offer that to the world. Eat and drink.
Let us pray.
Eternal God, we give you thanks for this holy mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Now would you turn to hymn number 557, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. In the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
We're going to have a short video on the volunteers and mission before we go in for the potluck. If you wish to stay for that, you're welcome to do that. We'll start that now. Thank you.